This podcast contains explicit language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Got the shot off! Throw it down!
He runs with the 50. He runs with the 40. The guy is drunk.
Here we go.
Bang it up!
You're listening to the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast with your host, Josh Lozano.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lozano, part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Had to pull off this emergency pod because we had a blockbuster trade. Bringing in my two good friends, Romeo Scagliarini, Jack Lammer. Been on the show a couple times. Houston Rockets fan in Jack Lammer. And a Kyrie disciple in Romeo Scagliarini. How you two doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having us on.
I'm doing great, man. This week has been a little tough on my discipleship, but we follow.
Hey, man, I was getting ready to be one too if Kyrie's in that package.
Yeah, you were ready to start funding like almost like Scientology in the sense that you were going to try and prove that the Earth was flat just for Kyrie, right? But that what makes you a great Houston Rockets fan, Jack.
I don't care who is on the Rockets, man. I am going to love them wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they leave, like that bum ass Harden, they're out of my life. All right, I'm done defending.
Uh-huh. All right, well, yeah, let's just get into it. Fucking crazy trade, right? Four-team trade. Brooklyn Nets are getting the bearded one, James Harden, and a 2024 second-round pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're going to need it because their cupboard is bare. The Rockets are getting Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum from the Cavs, the Rockets are also getting three of Brooklyn's first round picks unprotected, 2022, 2024, 2026. And in the deal, they're also getting a pick swap for 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. Also, Cleveland sprinkled in their first round pick they got from Milwaukee when they did the George Hill trade. Pacers are getting Caris LeVert and a 2023 second round pick. And the Cavaliers, to complete their all-center lineup to match up against the Detroit Pistons, they're getting Jared Allen and Taron Prince. So,
Josh, I like that you left out the one player whose name I also cannot pronounce that the Rockets are getting.
Yes.
Krukus?
From the Nets.
Krukus?
Yeah.
Krukus.
No idea how to say that.
It's Rodions Krukus.
Rodions Krukus. Would,
of course.
Did Kyrie help you sound that out when you guys are crisscross applesauce talking kumbaya?
No, that was honestly just a guess, but I said it very confidently.
Oh, okay. Well,
like a true Kyrie fan there.
Listen, audience. Well, not the champagne. That record scratch, I'm going to cut my voice in pronouncing it. Proper pronunciation. And then that way, if we keep butchering his name for the rest of the show, at least you know how to properly pronounce it once. And we'll just go on from there.
I hate to say it, but Romeo is right. His name is pronounced Rondias Kuroots.
There we go.
Okay. So big blockbuster trade. There's a lot of things that I kind of want to go in. We're going to make this kind of a shortest episode. Me personally, I don't know what the exact package would have been from the Sixers, but I always feel like if you can trade for another all-star, you do it instead of getting the picks. You don't know what these picks might turn out to be. They could end up being like Jackson Hayes and Nicole Alexander for the Pelicans, as we saw with the AD trade. So, but I just want to, you know what, Jack, Romeo, I'll let you guys have the floor. One guy feels like a winner because now he has the super team of the East. And Jack, you probably feel pretty good because now you could just wrench your hands off of defending Harden.
Yeah, well, it really gives our man Christian Wood room to blossom. Right, he's already got that 25 points per game. He may only be shooting 26% from three and four of those a game, right? But now it's going to be unlocked with Victor Oladipo, a former All-Star, two-time All-Star. We got John Wall, Boogie Cousins, and honestly, I was seeing some plus-minus numbers with Harden on and off the court, and obviously, plus-minus this early into the season can be pretty noisy and probably not that reliable. But when it's in my favor, I'm going to definitely take it. And we were net positive with Harden off the court. So all I can see is Oladipo coming back into that pre-injury form, John Wall playing like it's 2013, doing a little Dougie out on the court, Boogie Cousins just absolutely nut punching anyone who gets in the way. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to say Rockets over Lakers in five in the West Conference Finals.
Okay, I love that. That is wow, I love that. Rockets over Lakers. And Romeo, what's your thoughts so far about this trade?
I think it's definitely an interesting trade with the fact that the Rockets were just like, they were like, I'm doing it today. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the Nets were really on board of the, I have to do it immediately, because I think they kind of liked their team. I don't think they really wanted to do it with all the, we can say happenstance of whatever Kyrie decided to do this week. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to defend the things I don't know. So I will just leave that out for now. But I mean, I think the trade is they have three top 12 players. And as long as somehow they can defend, which they just gave up their by far best defender in Jared Allen, if they can defend, they're going to be easily win the Eastern Conference with these three guys.
Yeah, like Jack was saying, extremely small sample size. But guess what? Life's a small sample size. So the Nets rating this season with Jared Allen on the floor, he had a plus 10. Plus 10.5. Without Jared Allen, he had the Nets were a minus 1. With DeAndre Jordan on the floor, they're a minus 1.4. Without DeAndre Jordan, when he's riding the bench, they're a plus 7. Small sample size. Also, at the end of the day, when you got enough scoring power, when you have two guys that can both, like technically three guys, when you have three guys that can put up 40 each, that's 100. That's basically all the points that you're really going to need. So it doesn't really matter. They're basically what the Wizards are trying to do on defense, like just sacrifice all their defense for offense, but they could actually pull it off. So we'll see, though.
No, I will say, so Romeo, so you said this is kind of a spur of the moment almost deal, which I do think that it kind of was a perfect storm of the Kyrie Irving situation, putting some doubt into maybe the future of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in a Nets uniform. So this is a good way of sharing it up. And then the Rockets, obviously it all came to a head with that loss to the Lakers, with James Harden basically saying, I've done all that I could, you know, losing the playoffs over and over again. Oh, he didn't say that part, but but Boogie Cousins coming out and saying that more or less they've all felt disrespected. But I think the biggest loser here, to me personally, is the Sixers, because I think they thought they were going to get James Harden at a bargain. You know, this is slowly going to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. The Nets, after Dinwiddie went down, didn't have enough for a package for it. And they're kind of playing the long game, and then here come the Nets. You know, they just come in and scoop them right out of the right out of there, and I think easily become the favorites in the East after this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Philly though, it was basically if you went through the Twitter rabbit hole of the Philadelphia 76ers fans, they were basically saying, this is it, Ben Simmons is gone, because they were saying, wow, Ben's, and these are people who defended Ben Simmons like tooth and nail, which sucks because Ben Simmons like just plateaued as a rookie, but they were saying things like, you know what, I know Ben's traded for sure, like I'll fix the crack on the Liberty Bell myself if Ben Simmons is not traded. He said he took two shots last night. He said the only reason he took two shots is because he got some news that he didn't want to hear. He said, that's it, it's done. I'm washing my hands with this, and I'm getting my Harden jersey right now. And then just as they were saying these kind of things, then the news broke that Harden's going to Brooklyn, baby.
It is amazing, I think, in the NBA, how no matter how many years left on somebody's contract, no matter how early the season it is, you know, we're at such a point in the player empowerment era that a blockbuster trade like this that can stop, you know, seemingly at least my sports world, if not the sports world in general, can happen whenever a player sort of wants it to happen. And it'll be interesting, you know, going forward with a team of you know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, who have all in their own rights been the angsty superstar, having them all on the same team with a freshman coach, and not a lot of tools around them, to see if they'll end up succeeding or you know, not meeting expectations.
Yeah, that's one thing. There's a lot of things I want to talk about, but I want to get both of your guys' take on this, because that's a lot of you know, like when people are saying, oh, that's a lot of car for you, or that's a lot of house for you. That's a lot of team for you there, Steve Nash, as a first year rookie. And You got D'Antoni as your assistant coach, who, as Jack was alluding to in our prior episode we all did, this is kind of like his sunny retirement, where he's like, Steve Nash is the one getting blamed for this. I'm just telling you to shoot more and shoot faster. That's about it. It's tough, and we're starting to see it now, too, where I could see from the early start of the season, KD looks very invested. He looks like he's going to try and win. It looks like he's trying to prove that he's still a top player after the Achilles and that he can win a championship without the Warriors. That's proven. Harden, I question his motivation, hopefully because now he's playing on a team with title aspirations that he'll also match it. But then also, you also have Kyrie, who just kind of looks like he's just vibing. Like, he doesn't care. He's treating the NBA like a 9-to-5. He's using his PTO. He said, man, I don't care. He said, the earth is flat. Life is good. And he said, I got a ring before you, Steve Nash. You're not going to tell me when I show up.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're right. They have a lot of team for that. But, like, Mike D'Antoni's on the team. Like, he's like their head assistant or whatever. And he's worked with James Harden for the past, what, Jack, 5 years, six?
Is it work? There's no way. Is it work or more like, babysitters and like, well, you could do whatever you want in my offense.
There's no way that the Nets sign off on that trade if Mike D'Antoni says this won't work.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yes, they would. Yes. They say, there's can no I have way. Top 10 player in the league? A GM says that yes to that every single time. And it's a no, say yes now, figure it out later.
100%.
With everything they gave up, there is no way that if Mike D'Antoni said, I don't think it would work with these three superstars on the same floor at the same time. Like, because they would definitely ask him because he's the one who knows Harden the best and has worked with Harden the most. There's no way they make that trade.
I don't know if it's just something in Brooklyn because I know it's a different owner now, but they did the same shit with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They said, oh, we can get two amazing players. Like, give away all the draft picks.
That team was supposed to be elite. It's just that Darren Williams crumbled in front of everybody's eyes, and Joe Johnson wasn't like God Joe Johnson. And then Paul Pierce and KG were a little bit older, and they showed their age. Yeah, they showed their age a little bit. But this is trading for 30. What, James Harden's 31?
James, last year James Harden's 31. We'll see this year.
Okay, so he's 31 or 32, whatever. This is trading for pretty much still in his prime James Harden to pair with 28-year-old Kyrie Irving and 30, 31, 32, whatever-year-old Kevin Durant. Like, this is not trading for 35-year-old or 34 and 35-year-old Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
I agree. I just think that it's going to be hard to adjust James Harden's play style. I don't know if it scales to a team like that has other ball-dominant shot creators, because I would say that D'Antoni did less of working with James Harden and did more of working for him, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, I love that.
And now James is going to be the second or the third option, especially in the fourth quarter, with how James does with those end-of-game scoring. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get back to that OKC version of himself that, could cut and could be active off-ball, because the last thing you want to see is Kyrie and James standing in opposite corners just watching Kevin Durant shoot. Although that could be a viable offense because Kevin Durant is basically an automatic bucket. So I don't know. Only time will tell to see what happens.
I think there's a couple things with this that I like a lot. And then there's a couple things I really don't like. I don't like how DeAndre Jordan is their starting center and how their backup center is Jeff Green. Very much do not like that. Jeff Green. That's literally their backup center right now. Their backup center is Jeff Green.
I've been there, dude. I get it.
Yeah. It's like the Rockets again from last year. But the other thing I very much do like about this is James Harden is going to probably be the guy with the ball in his hands the most, which means Kyrie and KD can kind of run off ball things that they ran more often, but they'll still have opportunities to run on ball whenever Harden's on the floor or whatever. And this, as much as I love Kyrie, his shot profile when he's running isolations in the past year or so has dipped away from uber efficient offense into more it's still Kyrie efficient offense, and he's still one of the top five scorers in the NBA, but he's taking shots that in the playoffs against possibly double teams and stuff, it's probably not as good as a shot that KD or Harden would create for the offense.
How do you think this will even do his 8 to 9 post-ups a game? Do you think this will make him go down?
Those were the shots I was pretty much getting at. The post-ups and the runners and the weird floaters and, like, all those are great whenever he's attacking downhill and drawing contact and getting fouls and all that shit.
Yeah, but that's because he has a mismatch. He has a mismatch every time he goes down the floor.
He does have a mismatch every time down the floor. Let's be real. It's Kyrie.
Since they're all coaches, you know, it's going to be a real – it's going to be just an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, who's going to bench him?
Well, apparently the only person who can get Kyrie to step off a court is Kyrie Irving. So we'll see about that. Sure. I think in all honesty, I think we're splitting hairs here. I don't think that people are like, oh, how's it gonna fit? There's only one ball. When you have three offensive juggernauts like that, they're basically like they're their own planet because like defenses gravitate to them. There are three guys who basically the best way to defend them is get the ball out of their hands. Or double team him, which mathematically is impossible. Because like, one of them is going to be single cover. This is like football, right? This is almost like football now, where you just like, okay, you have too many good receivers. I think that the offense. I'm not even worried. What I am worried about, you're right, is with Jared Allen and the defense of that team. Like, how are they going to still have? Like, what is their defensive identity? Especially because what's their lineup that they're going to be running? Their ultimate debt lineup is like KD at the five. Joe Harris, Kyrie, James Harden, and then Dinwiddie.
They don't have one elite. That is one issue. KD has shown he can be an elite defender, but they no longer have any elite defenders on that team because I'm assuming KD is going to default to above average and not elite.
I think when KD locks in, because he's just so damn long that he doesn't even need to jump to shoot over people. That's like how his defense is. He's able to just bother people with that length. I think that there's not a team that can keep up with them if they're all hitting their jump shots. I just think that the issues are not going to when because we know the importance of defense in the playoffs, and when it really gets down to it, I think that there's going to be lesser teams that can keep up with them for a while. The question is if they can keep up with them in a 7-game series because they're not going to be able to slow down these guys, you know?
Yeah, I think the only thing that can slow them down is maybe an injury to Kyrie Irving.
Ooh, that's what I'm worried about too.
Yeah,
but because, even then, KD and James Harden is still like a fast track to at least.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they're both individually complete offenses, more or less, right? Like James Harden or Kevin Durant on you know the Pistons is going to make them the playoff team. I'm really excited to watch him play, and I'm excited to see LeVert on his own team with the Pacers.
Still like not his own team. Like that's Sabonis's team, and that's Brogdon and then Sabonis. It's LeVert's going to fit in very well because he's basically just going to one for one replace Oladipo. But
yeah,
it's not him balling out like on like the Pistons.
I'm misspeaking. Without such a crowded backcourt, with Dinwiddie and Kyrie Irving, all you know, both ball dominant scoring guards. I think Malcolm Brogdon is a bit more apt to pass it, and Sabonis, you know, can obviously do a little front court backward action there. And then Oladipo getting out. The Rockets. Oladipo's an expiring contract, right? They didn't take Jared Allen.
They wanted to get under the tax.
Yeah. The Rocket. Hey,
Fertitta's like, get me out of here.
No, Fertitta.
I don't have the
like,
money for this.
Fertitta was like, how many? What do we need? 8 players to play? He's like, get rid of 4 more. Like, no, that's not how this works. He said, just get me under the cap. He said, and or ask him next time you trade for a guy if they're okay working a double because I need extra waiters. And then they're like...
That would actually be a really cool attraction. Like, if he has, like, a restaurant in Houston and he had James Harden as a waiter one night, like, I bet a bunch of people would come in just to see that. It'd be, like, a great way to boost sales.
Dude, if James Harden works in a restaurant, he would just be fucking sitting at the bar just eating people's french fries off their plates and then taking it over to me. Kidding me?
Okay.
True.
All right. So I want to talk about this since we're talking about James Harden real quick. What's your guys' thoughts that everyone's just saying? Because he does look a little porky. I don't know what the fuck he's doing if he's layering nine shirts. If he's wearing
a little.
If he's wearing like 9 shirts during the pregame, because he looks way bigger in the pregame than he does when he's actually playing. But my argument is James Harden's one of those dudes that he's just one of those special types of guys that he can play beer belly and wing belly and all. Because at the beginning of the season, his averages were 37 points for the first 3 games at 52% shooting, at 45 shooting 45 from the 3-point line and averaging 12 at the free throw line. Then the next 5 games, his average has dropped down to 14 points a game at 37% field goal and then 25% at 3 and 4 free throw attempts. So he just wasn't trying. People were saying
he stopped caring.
People were saying like, "Oh, it's all that cartilage and shit." I was like, "No, bro, James Harden's up all night, red-eyed, beaded. Like this guy, when he loses a playoff game or wins a playoff game, just goes and hits up the club and then comes back and just plays the next day. You could argue whether he plays well or not, but if you look at the stats, he's putting it up. I don't think that's the issue.
James Harden and Allen Iverson are related somehow, some way. I don't know how, but they're related.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' take about that because what the fuck? He is huge, though, but I'm not worried. I think he'll still be playing fine.
I think he was layering shirts or wearing body armor. Yeah. Or I don't know, but he looks so much bigger in the pregame warm-up picture that they compared to, like, Snack Williams or whatever that guy's name is. Than he did, like, when he was actually playing in, like, all these games. Like, I watched that full Blazers-Houston game earlier this year, and James Harden was just eviscerating people. So, like, I'm not worried about his ability. I think he definitely wanted to get out of Houston, and he tried to like use an interview to get the word to get out like 3 weeks ago, and then it didn't work. So then in this past like 3 or 4 days, he just went nuclear.
Yeah, he's just piling on the shirt and stuff. But, you know, I will say if Romeo, you compared him to Allen Iverson, I wonder if his longevity in the league will be affected then, just like Allen Iverson's was.
Iverson was 5'9".
Yeah, but I don't think James Harden, I mean, obviously James Harden's height isn't a disadvantage, but I don't know. I think that his
and James Harden's a better passer too. Like, I think his longevity might be reduced for sure, because he could have probably played until he was like 37, 38 like Bron, but he'll probably only play until he's like 34, 35. Well, he could play longer, but he'll probably only be like an elite NBA player until he's like 34, 35. But I mean, I don't think it's going to be like this stark fall off AI had, because AI couldn't shoot threes really. He was 5'9", 5'10", and relied pretty much solely on his extreme athletic ability. And he wasn't an elite passer that James Harden is. So,
well, okay. The thing about Allen Iverson though, is Allen Iverson and Russell Westbrook, to me, I know where you're doing the comparison of James Harden and Iverson, like partying. There's the whole like TGI Friday story of Allen Iverson, which is legendary. But I mean, like, career-wise, Allen Iverson and Russell Westbrook are, like, these two guys who relied so much on their athleticism, and they just played a certain way, and it was 100%, like, 110% all the time, right? And when they started having the tail end of their career, they didn't adapt or change, if that makes any sense. They kept playing what made them great, right? Like, they, what's the best way to think about it? Almost like a... It's almost like a car, and instead of, you know, like, hey, maybe we should upgrade and get an electric car, get a Tesla. Like, you're just driving with this like big diesel engine, and it's like, yeah, that was like brand new, but now it's like, it's just, you're gonna have to adapt, and I think that's the issue. I don't see that as much with James Harden, if that makes any sense. He doesn't seem like the guy that's gonna, you know, go until the gas is empty in the tank of that diesel.
See, but you say that, but you saw how bad he played when he wasn't trying, right? So we know it's in him if he doesn't have like the drive to keep on going. So if he loses that quick change of direction that can free him up for those passes, or he loses out on the little quick first step to get that step back that he relies on so much,
I don't think he's really going to need the steps as much, because he's still super strong. Like, there's not many guards that can actually stay in front of them without getting bumped off. So, like, I think you're right, where, like, he'd lose a little bit of, like, production with losing the first step or the sudden stopping ability that he has. But, like, he's still 6'5", and, like, he's a tank.
He's super strong. I feel like his finishing ability is always going to be there.
Yeah, it's kind of like Luka. Like, Luka's not quick. Luka doesn't go by people with a first step. He has a quick-ish first step, but, like, he gets by people because he's strong and he knows how to use his, like, 6'7" frame. That's how Harden is with 6'5". And, I mean, Harden's left-handed, too, which, like, I know people don't really talk about for, like, differing between people, but, like, left-handedness is definitely something that, like, a lot of players don't play, like, every day, so it tweaks him up a little bit. I did have a question, though, Jack. So you've watched James Harden more than most people. as the requisite Rockets fan. I think that James Harden, even whenever he's not playing, not trying to do much on the offense, he's so much more dangerous standing in the corner than literally 95% of the league. So they're not going to leave him out there, even if he's obviously not trying on the play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause he's a triple threat and anywhere on the court. Right. But
yeah. So it's not the same thing whenever he used to hang out at mid court. Cause I don't think he'll do that anymore.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't. Right. And I think I especially get lost in comparing him to somebody like Steph Curry. Right. Who is so valuable, off ball, that I forget to appreciate that. Obviously James Harden isn't just some bum shooting guard, right? He's one of the top 10 best players in the league. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. He's going to be dangerous on the court no matter what role he's in.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Cause it's James Harden. It's one of those guys. I'm not worried. I think he's one of those guys that I think his game's going to age well. To me, it's always about, it's not more about if he's going to lose a step or anything like that. For me, it's more will he ever just have the motivation or the drive? And to me too, James Harden is always, and there are guys who argue oh, James Harden's so clutch, he's all this. But to me, he's not, because yeah, he'll always fill up the game, the stats. But when you watch the games, when you really watch the games and his mannerisms and the way he plays, it's just I don't know. It's just, there's just something that's just James Harden. It's if you would have put Russell Westbrook's personality and gave him James Harden's body and talent, it's you would have Kevin Durant, basically, level tiered player. Because it's James Harden has the talent that Durant has, but it's just something about him. It's just he just doesn't have that drag you across the, you know? And that's why
I don't think he has the talent that Durant has.
I think if he really, really just fully committed, I think that he could. But then again, to me, Kevin Durant is the closest thing to peer to LeBron James. So I hold Kevin Durant super high. I'm just saying that Harden too.
I think KD is one of the only realistic, he's comparable to all the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah.
Because he's 7 feet tall and he's that fluid. So I agree with you. They have the same talent. That's the one thing. They have literally two of the top three or four offensive players in the league now. And Kyrie's eighth?
Eighth seems kind of high to me, but I agree.
Come on.
Here, we're going to name it. There's Alex Caruso. That's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker just dropping 38 tonight.
Gordon Hayward. Yeah, Gordon Hayward's been playing pretty well. I put him above it. Julius Randle's probably five. I got him 14 right now. I'm counting.
I'm just you forgot about Jeremy Grant.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Grant. Oh, yeah. Mason Plumlee, too. So that's not I got to carry that silver.
I still think it's funny how this trade was announced today, and it was big blockbuster trade, whatever. And then, as the day went on, everybody realized that the Cavs stole Jared Allen for Dante Exum and a Bucks pick that was probably going to be pick 29.
Yeah. Okay. Yo, let's, because we're getting close to wrapping up, let's talk about that. What the fuck is the Cavs doing? I'm pretty sure that the master plan is they're going to ship. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I seriously think so I don't sound like a jackass and I'm going to make jokes after. They're probably going to just focus on Sexland, Jared Allen, because that's a pretty decent young core right there. Trying to figure out a buyer for Drummond, which I'm not sure if there will be. Keep JaVale or even ship Drummond and then keep Nance, because Nance is the cheaper contract. And you could play him a little bit more because he could actually handle the ball and pass. He can still he can still play small with him, so we'll see.
Okay, first of all, Andre Drummond can handle and pass. Did you not see that beautiful basketball play last week?
Oh my Magic Drummond.
Got him. He's what? Is he taking 17 shots a game right now?
He's out there out there being
the he's taking 17 shots a game because he's missing all of his layups.
Yeah, how the fuck does he miss? I have him on my fantasy team and he still puts up numbers, but he's super inefficient, and it's I end up watching the games and it's just missing all these putbacks and stuff. JaVale McGee's wetting all these threes and shit, and then I see Drummond, I'm Drummond's probably, he's spacing it out. He's probably trying to attempt 15 footers and this guy's just missing putbacks. I was what the fuck?
Yeah,
that I'm dreading is the Drummond trade to the Mavs. Please just no. I've watched the Cavs twice this year and please no.
I don't know, man. He's like an upgraded Dwight Powell. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Dwight Powell looks awful too. I mean, geez. But
I don't know, man.
I think what, their plan is what you Drummond's, said. It's Sexland plus J.A.
Where's Drummond's birth certificate? I don't think they fit Mark Cuban's scheme here. Where's Drummond? Is he U.S. born?
Because
I don't think it has to be. He needs a European passport, and then
yeah.
It's the only way that they're going to be part of that Mavs lineup.
I was talking to somebody today about how Brad Beal is going to get, what, 3 picks and 3 swaps now after Harden got 4 and 4? And I was like, yeah, the Mavs could try to get 3 picks and 3 swaps. And he goes, no, the Mavs are only trading for Denny. They're not trading for Brad Beal.
Okay. I also find it hilarious that there's a pick swap for this year between the Rockets and the Nets. As if that is going to be like the Nets are going to have a worse pick than the Rockets. I think they wanted to add on an extra line to the trade, you know?
I mean, you never know. Like, it's better to just take the pick swap than to not.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't seem up there. It's like, oh, they got 3 picks and 4 pick swaps. Like, say 3.5 pick swaps, you know?
I mean, the Kyrie Irving pick was draft, like the Kyrie Irving draft, the Clippers traded that pick because they didn't think it was going to be anything. They were all like playoff bound or like close to playoff bound. They thought it was going to be like pick 12 or 13. And then it ended up being pick 1 with Kyrie Irving. I mean,
who was on that Clippers team though?
It was Blake Griffin.
Okay. Yeah. And not Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Okay.
They had Paul
Point
Pierce.
Taken.
What's your mouth? Point they had taken. Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I still really think that this, I said at the beginning of the year, and I remember this, that I thought the Nets would win the East. And I still believe that, except I am a little bit worried that now DeAndre Jordan has to play massive minutes. And I'm really hoping that some team gets really dumb and buys out a decent center so the Nets can just swoop him up.
Yeah. We'll see there. I feel like there will be a buyout market. I just don't think that there's going to be a big enough buyout market to get a guy that won't get played off the floor when they go small. Like when the Lakers play with like AD at the 5. If that makes any sense. Because there's like tiers to the big men. And I'm not sure if they'll be able to find, because like they can get a Baines, you know, like I think an Aaron Baines would be nice, like 4 spacing, but it's that's always
that
issue.
I think they can get a Baines.
I don't know, man. He's been playing like ass cheek for Toronto, and then Chris Boucher, which I mean, which tight that translates to butcher. It's the fucking the butcher.
Bobby Boucher. Yeah.
So I think there will be a market, but that's what I'm saying. It's like it's gonna be like the Baines type of tier guys, where it's like you end up can't playing them, during closing minutes anyway. So
I will say every Nets game is about to be super interesting though, because they're gonna have to outscore everybody.
I mean, that's what they're already doing, bro.
Are you kidding me?
That's what they're already doing. Oh, wait, all right. I lied. This is the last thing I gotta ask, and it's for Jack and Romeo. If Chris Paul would have stayed, because think about that. They basically gave James Harden everything. The Rockets, like James Harden's like a child, right? And they're just like, you can have whatever you want. Like, we don't care. Like, we'll like if they would have just not listened to James Harden, I guess you could say that about the Westbrook trade too. But for the Chris Paul one, they would have just kept him. Look at everything that Chris Paul was doing. How good do you think that Rockets team would have been? Like, if they would have just figured it out. Because it sounds like Chris Paul is exactly what James Harden needed.
Yeah, oh, like yeah, the bringing, like keeping Chris Paul trading for James Harden. Not trading for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, yeah. And then like think about, because see what he's doing with the Suns. Here, we'll go with that. He's got like 15 seconds on this.
My only thing is, Josh, why do you want me to relive that? You don't think I thought about that every single day last season? Yeah, of course they'd be great. Like I don't think James Harden would be traded right now. But unfortunately, he blew it all up, and now I'm happy to have John Wall and the 2013 All Star team.
Romeo,
yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I think they would have been kind of elite, because like if they could have kept Capella and then somehow pulled that Covington trade, and then somehow pulled the Covington trade and got Christian Wood to go with Chris Paul and James Harden, if Chris Paul looks like he does right now, and then I don't know, maybe get one more piece, that team would have been really good.
I think so too, and I think he would have fixed all of James Harden's flaws. And with that, thank you guys for coming on the show. This was fun.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. Go Nets.
Sweet. Perfect. It's just, if I didn't cut this off, it was going to be going on too long. And also, yeah, I forgot, I'm not signed into my
So we're about to get kicked off.
Yeah, we're about to get kicked off. But I got to make it sound smooth. No one knew about that. No one knew. I was faking it. I was that confident.
It said, like, well, it said 2 minutes and 10 seconds, and then it said less than a minute, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to keep, you know what? Maybe Zoom's lying to us. Maybe they're just trying to, because let's see, it's been a minute. I feel like it's been a minute
Zoom's
for a while.
With us.
Yeah.
They're just trying to say it has been a minute for a while.
Yeah, I feel like they're just punking us.
That was good, though. I'm actually really excited to see how they...